I first of all want to thank the teams of FAO and the OECD that work very closely together to produce this report. There is an excellent collaboration, and I would say exemplary collaboration between the OECD and FAO on this one, so we are set to continue this collaboration. Now, I was going to make a technical presentation on the main key points of the report. However, the two executive heads, they've already made technical presentations. They highlighted, so I can only show you some pictures and make some additional points given that we have a little bit of time. So I think the highlights of the outlook have already been mentioned. The slowdown in demand for growth, but of course its composition is changing. The good news is that global demand growth will be met through supply changes, mainly based on yield growth, which is a very important component. Supply responds to growing demands in a way in which they will maintain prices flat in the future. Trade is going to be slowing down in terms of its growth, but several regions will need international trade to close the food gap. So trade will be very important for food security. And then the report traces a baseline, but the punchline is we really need to do more than this baseline. So our efforts should be focused on beating the projections, on making the FAO and OECD projections on agriculture for the next 10 years an understatement. So going to some pictures, what you see here is that, the two executives said, that the overall demand will be slowing down because population will be slowing down, income growth will be slowing down, and then the consumers get progressively satiated. So you don't expect to spend additional income on food as in the past from the additional income. So, however, you see that the key commodity categories presented here are not growing at the same rate. The red line is the overall growth of the population between the baseline and 10 years later, while the bars are the overall demand growth for these major commodity categories. As both our executives had said, that cereals demand will be very modest, very low. It will mainly come from sub-Saharan Africa. Some of it will be for coarse grains, for livestock. But then you will see that some of the more high-protein commodities like vegetable oil, sugar, dairy, meat, and fish will increase. That's welcome news in a sense because you will see that and since most of the demand for food will come from the developing countries and some of the emerging economies, it means that consumers in the developing countries will have access to a broader dietary base, more diversification, move the nutrition transition towards more protein-rich foods from just caloric intake. So in the emerging economies, per capita consumption of sugar and vegetable oils is expected to grow fast, which creates some concerns for issues regarding obesity and the double burden on nutrition. Here is where the additional supply will come from, and broken down by the contribution of yield and the contribution of area. Like as the Director General said, in Latin America there is scope for expansion of area, but the good news to look at is that in Africa and the Near East, most of the growth will come from yield increases. And for sub-Saharan Africa, it's probably the first time we can make such a welcome statement. In the Near East, of course, a lot of the potential for expansion of area has been exhausted. So this is one point that we making in the report is that there is quite a bit of potential for closing the yield gap in some of the developing regions, including sub-Saharan Africa, between the yields that are achieved at the experiment station under the same agroecological conditions and the ones actually achieved by farmers. Technologies is one part of doing this. The other is, of course, incentives for the farmers themselves to adopt these new technologies. So there is a minimal call for new agricultural resources, Although the expansion of land and to land is not going to always be done in the most sustainable way. So the market fundamental points to stabilization of real prices. Real prices, as we say, will remain flat for the period covered by the outlook. Now, if you look at this picture, you may get the wrong idea. And the wrong idea because the prices after 2016 are projections. They reflect the fundamentals. Well, before that, they reflect all the upheavals in the markets, right? So it's not that we all of a sudden will be living in the Alice in Wonderland world. It's just that the projections are reflecting the fundamentals of supply and demand and net out the variations which are always present. The other reason for which prices will be, demand will be slowing down, but also the fact that a lot of the additional supply generated through productivity growth tends to keep prices low. Relative prices will change, reflecting the composition, of course, of demand, as I said before, demand for livestock, dairy, sugar, etc., will increase more, and so this will be reflected in the relative prices. Also, which they will also reflect the easiness by which additional production in the main producing countries can actually produce for the additional production. Now, the substantial risk of a major price swing, all we did on this one is subject those prices, subject the model into a yield shock and some macroeconomic shocks that involve growth rate changes in overall income, oil price changes, which actually, and exchange rate changes. So some of the past upheavals we try to introduce in the model to see what happens. So the model says that there is a risk for a major price swing, which is an up and down before prices go back to the long term. But this actually is not necessarily a crisis, but it can become a crisis if uncoordinated wrong policies come in the way, like in the past, to actually make the situation work. As I said before, trade is very important for food security. One important point that we would like to make for this is, first of all, that there is a concentration of exports. If you take commodity by commodity in the five key exporters, the five key exporters overall, they control 70% of overall exports of the basic commodities. And that's worrisome because if you have agroecological shocks or economic shocks in the exporting countries, that will be transmitted and it will be reverberated into the whole system. Now, for trade itself, the growth of trade will be reduced by almost half, although for most commodities, a constant share of production continues to be traded in the world markets. And as I said before, for Africa, Near East and some parts of Asia, food imports will be increasingly important, as you can see here from the graphic. In terms of import concentration, imports are better spread than exports among countries or regions. But we have to be also note that China has becoming a major exporter of some of the key commodities, and at the same time, like soybeans, dairy, and coarse grains. And on the other side, though, Eastern Europe and Central Asia are emerging as net exporters. And that you can see in the line, the blue line that says others. Now, in sub-Saharan Africa, overall, I have to say we are positive about sub-Saharan Africa and its future, but we are positive on the potential more than some of the actual things that are happening. For the first time, we produced a detailed report for 50 countries in sub-Saharan Africa, which is now summarized in this figure. There is a sub-regional diversity of results, which is, of course, not reflected here. The total agricultural production is projected to expand by 2.6% per annum. The demand will expand by 3% per annum. which is actually, in a sense, good news if there is effective demand for food, but this gap has to close. You see that this gap is going to be filled by imports. As I said before, and I want to underline, in contrast with past production increases, which overall were driven by area expansion, this time we will see quite a bit of yield growth contributing to additional production. So we hope that this is actually, continue. Now, sub-Saharan Africa is in the crossroads of major transformations that will affect actually demand and supply. There is an income growth with uncertainties and strong inequalities that is positive for the region. There is the rise of the Africa middle class, rapid urbanization, facilitating access to new information and technologies will also affect the demand for food. The supply-demand balance will be, of course, as I said, increasingly covered by imports, and you can see here where the major importing commodities on the transparency: vegetable oils, poultry meat, sugar, etc. I want to underline again the potential of the region to close the yield gap with proper technologies and incentives. We've been always saying that, and actually Africa has signed up to the Malabo Declaration that sets very ambitious targets for yields. Finally, for the key actions, I think both heads underlined what those key actions will be. The chronic low productivity of agricultural resources can be increased. The diversification away from commodity dependence that makes some of the countries vulnerable to shocks, inclusive development from the point of view of access to resources, especially access to land, income inequality, which is rising in the region, building the resilience to climate change that has already been mentioned. The stability of policies and institutions is a very important component to attract private investment in the region, which will be key at the end of the day of moving the region forward. And that's part of the creating of the enabling environment for private investment. And then the prices, the big price differences among countries in the region, they point to the infrastructural deficiencies of the region and the need for expanding in the regional trade. As I said before, outlook in general shows the baseline scenario, but I think we can do better than the baseline. As it was mentioned, staying on the path that we are now, we won't eliminate hunger. We'll miss, definitely, the SDG on hunger. It's just going to reduce it, but certainly far from eliminating. Now, we think that rural poverty, the role of agriculture, food security and nutrition are key elements to be addressed in the SDGs in order to meet all of them. And so action has to be taken now, and not wait until 2030. Thank you very much.